Hey, everyone. Welcome to Locked On Lakers for Friday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky. Andy, the Lakers win a huge game Thursday night against the Warriors at home on a night where LeBron James and Anthony Davis were tied for third and fourth high scorers, respectively. That's a good sign going forward. Talk about it next.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers first listen of every day, Monday through Friday, no matter how or where you get your podcasts. No subscriptions required, no paywalls, nothing like that. Particularly important on a night like Thursday, you can go to Locked On Lakers on YouTube and react with other people, other Lakers fans, all of whom I'm sure are very excited about what went down at the Crypt on Thursday night. The Lakers with a big win, 124-111 over the Warriors in a game they really did control throughout. Want to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. It is not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional therapy done securely online, available to people worldwide. And they have a special offer for our listeners, 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/lockedon. The Lakers, I think, Andy, it's fair to say, have had moments throughout the year where they're Lucy holding the football and we're all Charlie Brown getting excited to kick the ball and whoosh, the ball goes away. I at the risk of sounding once again like I'm going to kick a football that isn't there, Thursday night's win looked good. And it looked, when you start to look, you know, combine it with what they did before the break with the new players and all of that, they do look fundamentally different. And they look like a team that is capable, at least, of making a run in ways that the former version of this squad was clearly not.
Well, I mean, you hit on it when you said the new roster. Like, one thing that we all have to do while, you know, keeping a grounded view of the fact that this is a difficult task in front of them, like, they, just to make the play-in, you and I both believe they're going to have to win a lot of games.
15, like, they're going to have, whatever we put it, but they're down to 14 now, Andy.
Sure. According to our, you know, I think our well-thought estimation, but an estimation nonetheless, we thought it would be 15 games. It could be 14 now. It really helped that on this night, the Pelicans, the Thunder, the Warriors, who the Lakers beat, and the Blazers, the teams all in front of the Lakers, they all lost.
Yes.
So the Lakers made progress on that front. The only team that didn't lose was the Jazz, but that was because they were beating the Thunder. There's only so much you can do with that.
How about a tie? How about a tie, NBA? How about you stop rigging the thing so the Lakers can't get in and just let them tie? Or something. But yeah, with this win, the Lakers now, they will wake up on Friday, a game and a half out of the 10 spot, a game and a half out of the 9 spot, 2 games behind New Orleans for the 8, the slip-sliding New Orleans Pelicans, and 2.5 behind Minnesota, who did not play on Thursday night for the 7 seed. Dallas, and we'll get into this game, their next opponent, Dallas did win. They remain, for Darvin Ham, who wants to finish as a 6 seed, they remain 3.5 games in front of the Lakers. The Lakers play them on Sunday.
Again, it still was then important that the Lakers at least kept that pace. But back to the original point about, you need to keep this grounded in terms of just what's in front of the Lakers. But at the same time, you have to, I think, kind of retrain your brain to recognize that this is a different team. Like, what happened before the deadline, or really even before they traded for Rui Hachimura, who had a nice game tonight. We'll get into this. The supporting cast led the way in this victory. Like, LeBron and AD both did some good things, but by LeBron and AD standards, they were slackers along for the ride.
Yep.
This team now is constructed so much differently in a way that makes so much more sense, and the upside is so much just more obvious and cleaner to see that, again, without trying to get either Pollyanna or too far ahead of yourselves, I mean, we both have been pretty bullish. Just the moves they made before we even saw the evidence on the court, we're both pretty bullish. Like, look, man, they may not have enough time to get the things done that they want to, but this is clearly a better roster. And now we've seen them play four games with the new look. They've won three. I know they went up against teams that were missing players, but you know what? The Lakers spent a lot of this season losing games because they were missing players. It's just part of a season.
Or losing to teams that were missing players. Right. Like, forget the players they were missing themselves. Losing to teams that were also missing players or even had their players and also aren't very good. So
I just don't think there's a reason not to believe that this team isn't considerably better.
I agree with you.
They are.
And, you know, we'll talk about what LeBron and AD did. They only finished with 25 points between the two of them. I mentioned in the open,
LeBron was 5 of 20 from the field. Yeah,
LeBron, again, other things, both of them contributed to the win. But from an offensive standpoint, LeBron was bad. Like, you know, scoring standpoint, LeBron was legit bad. And, you know, he finished with 13. That was tied for third or fourth, and then AD had 12. Between the two of them, they had 25 points. And if you're going to tell me that the Lakers are going to win a game where the two of those guys are, you know, have 25 points between them, and they win this game going away, that is super impressive. And it's because of the support of the supporting cast, like you mentioned, and so many of them deserve moments on this show. We'll get to all of them. We'll get to Reeves. We'll get to Hachimura. We'll get to Mo Bamba. You know, played well. Vanderbilt played well. But I do want to start, if it's okay with you, with Beasley.
Sure.
Malik Beasley finished with 25 points. He had three rebounds. He had an assist. But the big number that people are going to be paying attention to and should is 7-11 from three-point range. And I love the 7. There's no question. 7 of 11 is really good. The Lakers are going to win a lot of games where Malik Beasley shoots, what is that, like 63% from three, whatever that number is. But I'll tell you, the number that I love more than even the 7 is the 11. Mm-hmm. Is they have a guy on this team who should be taking, if he gets 11 open three-pointers and good opportunities, should be taking 11 of them a game. It has a transformative impact. Stan Van Gundy talked about it on the broadcast. A guy like Beasley who can shoot high volume at 36, 37, 38, or in the case of Thursday, like 73%. A guy...
That'll do, pig.
If he does this for the rest of the season, Lakers totally win this trade, and they better pick up his option. But like, a guy who can do that is more valuable in terms of altering your offense in positive ways than somebody who shoots 40% or 43%, but only takes three of them a game. Like, yeah. Beasley has legit gravity that alters the way, and floor spacing that alters the way the Lakers play offense.
Yeah. I mean, it alters the way they get defended. And it's not just that Beasley is a catch and shoot option, which he obviously is, but this was something that Ben Beacon from Locked On Wolves told us about during the scouting report that we did on D'Angelo Russell, Malik Beasley, and Jared Vanderbilt. Like, Malik Beasley hits outside shots in a variety of ways. Like, he can move off screens. He can just be running off curls, getting behind the line. He's really good.
It's not just a kick out from a guy, you know, in transition, or like you say, driving to the basket.
He runs the lane. He runs the floor, runs the lanes extremely well. Like, all these different things that at the volume, you know, he's going to put up these shots. Defenses are always going to be occupied by Beasley. Like, they're, you know, Ben told us that his overall offensive game beyond outside shooting is very limited. At times will feel non-existent. Like, he does not do a whole hell of a lot beyond shooting outside shots.
2 for 5 inside the arc, for reference, on Thursday. Right.
But his variety outside the arc is pretty high. Like, he will do a lot of different things from three that just opens up all these different dimensions for the Lakers offense.
And doesn't need a lot of time to get the ball off either, which
no.
is also
no, he helpful.
Before we wrap up on him, like
it helps that his mind is already made up every time the ball comes.
But you know, but like I'll tell you what, but like he can see it, when you know that you can shoot on the move as he can coming off a screen. You know, our friend, you know, Tim_NBA noted this. A couple other people did too. It's like the Lakers aren't necessarily running different action with this new group. What they're running is similar stuff for players for whom it makes more sense. And I'm not trying to pin everything the Lakers were doing from an awkwardness standpoint on Russell Westbrook, because the improvements go deeper than just Westbrook not being there, because they picked up Vanderbilt and they picked up D'Angelo Russell. And it's like a lot has happened here to improve the overall depth of the team. But there's no question, removing Russ makes the execution of a coherent offense much simpler, particularly
and a more varied offense.
Yeah, much, much simpler. The other guy we got to talk about, Andy, before we get to, there are a lot of guys we got to talk. We got to talk about Bamba. We need to talk about Austin Reeves, who had a perfect evening, you could say, on Thursday. So get to all that next.
Locked On Lakers is brought to you by BetterHelp. And unfortunately, life does not come with an instruction guide. And what's not working for you, it's normal to feel stuck, like navigating life's challenges, whether you're talking about professional challenges, emotional challenges, family challenges. It can bring on anxiety, uncertainty, talking about career changes, a new relationship, becoming a parent, and it's really stressful. I can personally speak to how much therapy has helped me during a really difficult period in my life for me and my family, and sitting down and talking with a professional was it was a game changer. And BetterHelp has connected over 3 million people with licensed therapists. It's convenient, accessible anywhere, 100% online, no waiting rooms, no traffic, and it's affordable. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to match with a therapist. And if things aren't clicking, you can easily switch to a new therapist anytime. So if you want to live a more empowered life, therapy can get you there. Visit BetterHelp.com/LockedOn today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/LockedOn.
Okay, so a little bit of housekeeping here, Andy. If there is a down note to Thursday's win, it's that D'Angelo Russell only played 9 minutes in the game. He left in really, I realize people sometimes will talk about fluke injuries and use that in a way that may not be applicable. This one was something I've never seen. Russell, I've watched a lot of basketball games. I've never seen this happen. Russell taking the ball out from under the basket after Dante DiVincenzo scored, stepped on DiVincenzo, who was behind the basket, like by the stanchion, trying to work his way back to play. Nobody was doing anything wrong here, but Russell didn't realize where DiVincenzo was. He steps on him, he turns his ankle, and he's done for the night. And Dennis Schroeder came in and did a nice job in the second half. He and Reeves essentially kind of split point guard duties. The good news here, if you're looking for it, the Lakers said he's not going to need an MRI. Darvin Ham noted that after the game. And Russell, who said he was sore, also said, you know, we'll see how it goes, kind of didn't seem to think it was too bad, but mostly he was the fact that he was talking, Andy,
yeah,
I thought was the best sign of all, because generally speaking, when guys are hurt, they do not speak to the media.
Yeah, if for no other reason than when you get hurt, there's a league rule. You're not required to talk to the media, and most players will jump at any opportunity to not talk to the media, even if the context is kind of a bummer. So D'Angelo being in good enough spirits to, you know, talk about this, I think he was excited about the win. You know, he reiterated, because he's said this now a few times since rejoining the Lakers, he's like, we've got a really good team. He's like, this team is really good. A lot of guys are capable of stepping up. And he seems as excited right now as we've been talking about this new team, the energy that we can feel from fans when they talk about the team, whether to us or on Twitter to us at Cam Brothers. Like, there's just an energy that it feels like everybody wants to be a part of. Yeah. And D'Angelo is no exception.
And I'll say this, like, well, I feel like in some ways Russell is sort of bringing a certain, like, intentionally trying to bring a certain energy and enthusiasm to the team that is different than sort of the vibe, whether it's Pat Bev or, you know, the energy that I guess sometimes Russ would try to provide or whatever it is. Like, there was a play in the first quarter where Beasley set up in the corner, ends up with a play. And, you know, like, remember a couple games ago, Russell was doing the hype man thing. I forget who was shooting, but he got, you know, he had his arms up and was ready, you know, kind of get the crowd up. He's like dancing around with his arms up, like waving, like the ball's going in before Beasley has taken the shot. And he's like 4 feet away from him. I'm like, put your damn arms down, man. Like, how are you supposed to concentrate if you're Beasley with Russell's arms flapping all over the place? But I do think you're right. Like, he seems excited to be in this situation with the Lakers. I think he seems excited. See how long it lasts. We'll see how it goes. But I think he seems excited at the idea of kind of rewriting his Lakers history in some ways. But, you know, some of the best, most fun things about D'Lo were, you know, ice water in my veins and all the other stuff that he used to do. You know, there you go.
Well, look, you and I, we covered D'Angelo when he was with the team, and he was immature. I mean, we used to say all the time, like, Brandon Ingram and Julius Randle, they were both very old 19s, or I guess
particularly
in the case
Randle.
Of, like, yeah, Randall came into the league an old soul, and you
Randall
know,
came
Brandon
into elementary
Ingram,
school an old soul,
and you know, like B.I. I mean, B.I. might have been like 17 when he entered the league, or something. B.I. like just turned 18. He's still, I think, only 24. It's insane. I don't know how it's possible.
B.I. was two dimensional. Like, if you turn him sideways, he disappeared.
But he, you know, Brandon was very mature too when he came into the league as a rookie. D'Lo was young for his age, but we both really liked him. Mm-hmm. And you could tell too, he was a really smart kid. He just was immature. He was not ready for this. He was not expecting at all to be a one and done. Like, that you don't go to Ohio State expecting to be a one and done. Like, that's not the way this stuff typically works. And I think it took him a while to just figure out the idea of, like, okay, I'm a professional basketball player. I have not necessarily been groomed for it this way.
No, not in the way that some of these guys start at age 12, 13, 14, like really prepping to become professional
or like a star too, like, you know, I think D'Angelo was confident, like, okay, I could make it into the NBA, I could maybe carve out a career. He was not expecting to be a one and done second overall pick. No. At all.
And I will say, even certain things, like, you know, did he break the code with the cell phone thing and all that other stuff? Yes, he did. It's stuff he shouldn't have done or whatever. The fault for that episode, as we talked about at the time, was with Nick Young. If you don't want to get caught cheating, don't cheat. And then don't give your...
I was going to say, look, the cheating, some will say, is just part of the professional athlete lifestyle. Whatever you think of it, that's just part and parcel of what goes on.
Uh-huh.
But assuming you don't have like a understood thing with your significant other that just this is the life that we're all signing up for, and you know, like people who enter the mob, whatever. Don't tell a 19-year-old kid that you barely know about. Like, if this is not something that at the time Iggy Azalea you knew was cool with, or at the very least cool with other people knowing, sometimes the deal is, I know what you're going to do.
Don't embarrass me. Don't make me look bad.
Don't embarrass me. Don't tell a 19-year-old kid that you know is immature about this stuff, but enough digression.
Yeah. But so, you know, we'll see, you know, hopefully if he misses time, it's a game or two. The Lakers follow Sunday's game in Dallas with a game in Memphis on Tuesday. So that is no easy task there. But you know, you look at this team overall and they just look good. What I think it is significant, really significant here. I don't know. I don't, there, I do know. There is no way they're going to max, you know, max out their ceiling this year with this group. You know, just, there's not enough time to learn the best rotations, to learn everybody's nuances and all that. They can't hit their ceiling. The floor is so much higher than it used to be. And that matters, because when you have 7 or 8 minutes a game where you're essentially playing at your floor, if your floor is as low as where it was for the Lakers, you know, 35 games ago, that can bury you. Now, seven or eight minutes a game of your floor, you lose points. The other team goes on a run. I'm not, you know, you get what happened in Portland, not forgetting that game, but like, you're much more likely to be able to sustain those moments because you're just, your basic level of operation is at a higher place. So I think that is not insignificant.
And the proof of that was just the Lakers, this win was really fueled by the supporting cast. And the next guy we really ought to be talking about is Austin Reaves.
All right. So we'll do that next.
Locked On Lakers is brought to you by Nissan, and Nissan's most electric player of the week is brought to you by the all-new, all-electric 2023 Ariya, and the award goes to Malik Beasley. Beasley was, as we talked about, electric from behind the arc. 7 threes on 11 attempts. Dude was hitting off screens and transition, catch and shoots, and he's smooth. There's an elegance to Beasley's shot. There's a beauty to it, and the effect on the Lakers' offense, obviously powerful. Beasley opens up space for driving lanes where Dennis Schroeder and Austin Reaves entered with fierceness. So congratulations to Malik Beasley. The 2023 Nissan Ariya packs pinyu to your seat power and premium intelligence all in one EV. The all-new, all-electric 2023 Nissan Ariya, the EV for people who love to drive. Shop now at NissanUSA.com.
Fun little Malik Beasley note. This was posted to Twitter by at Pickup Hoop. Of the six most three-pointers made in a game by a Laker this season, Malik Beasley, who has played in four games with this team, has two of them. Seven is tied for second with all of the other ones are owned by LeBron, but Beasley now has 7 three-pointers in this game. He had 6, I believe it was against Portland. He already has 2 of the 6 highest three-point made games by a Laker this season. I expect he could own most of that list before it's all said and done.
But beyond the impact that it shows Beasley's already making, what's really important about that is something we've talked about a lot, really, since LeBron's been a part of this team and the Lakers have struggled to find consistent outside shooting. You want the floor spaced for LeBron. You don't want LeBron spacing the floor.
That is correct.
Not that he can't hit threes, but it just doesn't set up the offense the way you want it to.
Austin Reaves came off the bench on Thursday. He had, I think what could be only described as an increasingly typical Austin Reaves game. He had 17 points. He had 4 assists. He had a couple rebounds. He had 2 steals. He got hit in the face at least twice. And he was a perfect 6 of 6 from the floor. So overall,
4 of 4 from the line.
Yeah, it was a perfect offensive evening. No blemishes. And I thought what was particularly significant is, and again, you talk about the impact of just not having Russ there and how it changes roles and how it slots guys. Once Russell went out of the game with the injury, the ball handling and organizational stuff was really divided up. Obviously LeBron, but LeBron only played 26 minutes in this game. When LeBron wasn't on the floor, it was Schroeder, and it was Reaves taking that role. And, you know, he can serve as a connector, but he can also serve as an initiator. He's done that like Kyrie handles, but in terms of putting guys where they're supposed to go, making the right pass, making the right read, he does that extremely well.
Yeah, Reaves has this amazing ability to look like he's dribbled himself into trouble in the lane. And maybe he has, or maybe he's just like flailing a bit, like as some type of rope-a-dope. But either way, he keeps his dribble alive. keeps his pivot foot planted, and he finds a way to either kick out to an open man or find a diver or reconfigure himself for a bucket. Like, I've just come to expect the idea that 9 out of 10 times when it looks like Reeves has trapped himself, I'm just like, okay, take a beat. It's going to be okay. It's sometimes going to look like a baby giraffe discovering its legs, but it's going to be all right.
It's the scene in The Princess Bride. All of a sudden he turns to the person behind him and he says, I know something you do not. I am not left-handed. it's basically
you know
that.
What I mean? It happens multiple times a game where I'm like,
all the time.
Do it. That's what you're doing.
We're cool. And also too, it's just like aesthetically, I think there may be this deal where, I forget who it was after the game. It might have been D'Lo talking about Reeves, and basically every comment was just like, "Yeah, he's just way better than he looks. Like everything he does is just way better than it looks like it's going to be based on the packaging." Because I hope next year, the people who do NBA 2K need to show that man some respect and come up with a character that at least kind of looks like the guy. Oh my God, that's terrible. He does. Darvin Ham talked about it after the game. AD has talked about it. Guys who've been around now for a couple of years, he just does everything well. Worthy talked about it after the game. Is he outstanding at any one thing? No. But he does everything well, and this is critical for a team like the Lakers, can play with any lineup. More effective with some than others, really thrives around the better players, and I think helps make them better, but can play with any group. Like he can change what he does. He's a critical part of this team and a piece of connective tissue for a group that is very new.
I mean, LeBron has loved him from minute one, and LeBron loves players like Reeves that are just smart. They have really good instincts. D'Angelo talked about this, and you know, maybe it's something he's picked up playing against Reeves for a couple of years, but it sounds like something he's really noticed since being a teammate of him. Like, he just doesn't make a lot of mistakes.
Nope.
Like, you know, he may not be outstanding on every play, but he does not screw you up very often. Like, It's very rare during a game when you see Austin do something where it's like, dude, you're just way off there.
Well, like, it was when he had that stretch, right? Particularly right when he came back from the hamstring thing, which could have been obviously related, where he was like legit bad. It was like, whoa. Like it was so jarring to see him be bad in ways where I'm just like, oh, Austin missed a couple shots, but like, where is he throwing the ball? And like, why did he just dribble it off his leg and like stuff like that? It was really disconcerting.
Yeah. And then in the meantime too, like other guys, Mo Bamba.
I was going to change it to him before we're done. Mo Bamba,
13 rebounds in 22 minutes. He hit, I believe this was his first three as a Laker, correct? I think
we'll take your word.
I don't remember. I may be misremembering that, but he hit 2 of 4 from behind the arc, 13 rebounds.
He also had his first air ball from three as a Laker.
Definitely his first air ball. He was just really active. Like, you know, that we talked about this before. In a limited role, he just provides more utility than Thomas Bryant would have. Because if you're not going to be featuring either of those guys offensively, you know, they both may be available for some kickouts like Bamba was. They both have. Both might get set up occasionally at the rim like Bamba was in this game. Just the defense and the physical presence, even if Bamba's imperfect along those lines, it's going to be more impactful than what they were going to get in that same role from Thomas Bryant. And then, you know, Jared Vanderbilt, 9 rebounds in 18 minutes. He had a couple really nice passes, a couple really good defensive sequences. Rui Hachimura, 14 points, 5 of 9 from the field, 4 of 4 from the line, off the bench. Like pretty much everybody, you know, Dennis Schroeder, we talked about, he was steady in this game, you know, which they really needed with Russell getting hurt. Pretty much everybody who played significant minutes, meaningful minutes among the supporting cast found ways to contribute. And it's really, really important to see, like you talked about, that floor get raised.
And, you know, so look, I mean, it was against a Warriors team that was down. Andrew Wiggins out with personal, for personal reasons, family stuff, as it was described on the broadcast. And, you know, Steph Curry still hurt. You know, the switchability that Lakers have now, they, you know, they can actually put some different bodies and defend guys like Clay, defend guys like Poole in a lot of different ways. You know, this was, you know, Clay had 22, but he needed 19 shots to get there. Poole was 3 of 13 from the floor. So, you know, he needed 16, you know, 13 shots to get 16. We got to the line, you know, it shot 9 free throws, but, you know, 38 points from those two guys. And you see the results for Golden State. I understand this was not a full strength Warriors team. This is a Warriors team that even at full strength away from home has been lousy all season long. It's a Warriors group tonight, or Thursday night, I should say, that the Lakers actually do now match up with quite well, but they also control this game throughout. And I do feel like Sunday's game psychologically is the kind of game that if the Lakers win that one, against a Dallas team that now has Kyrie, that plays well at home, that has a lot of incentive to keep winning, that it feels like the kind of thing that could start a or run, or at least give them, Andy, the confidence that they could make a run of 7 of 9, 8 of 11, you know, 10 of 13, something like that. The kind of run that really would move them quickly up the standings. I feel like beyond all the stuff that we've talked about, every game matters. If you're going to catch somebody, games head-to-head, they're all must-wins, and so on. Psychologically, could be a real threshold game for the Lakers on Sunday.
Well, I mean, they've reached a place now where I think they legitimately believe in themselves and believe in their potential. And, you know, Anthony Davis talked about after the game the importance of having fun, and they've been having fun, and it's ironic because that's the thing Westbrook, whenever he said that, would get absolutely crushed for.
And it also didn't feel as authentic when Russ was saying, nobody, he said, like, we're having fun, but nobody was having fun. It wasn't
well, no,
fun.
No. Russ would talk about the importance of having fun. He would say, like, let's go out and have fun. Like, you know, the messenger matters, the context matters.
But timing, well, Russ's timing with a lot of those comments were not always very good.
There is very little Russ could ever say about anything that would have been well accepted by Laker fans, because they didn't want him here in the first place. But like, the Lakers are in this place where they believe. The next step is seeing the tangible evidence of their belief. Mm-hmm. And the more of it they see, the more of it they're going to be able to manufacture, like on the court, like in results. So yep. they are in a really, really good space right now that is frankly really exciting to watch. It's fun.
So you look at the next three games. It's Dallas at Dallas, a little road trip here, Dallas, Memphis, Oklahoma City, before you come back and you get Minnesota, Golden State, and Memphis at home, then Toronto and New York. I think if you win 2 of 3, if you take 2 or 3 of Dallas, Memphis, and Oklahoma City on the road, preferably Dallas and Oklahoma City, if you have to choose, you're cooking a little here. You know, you're 3-1 out of the break. You know, you're coming home for a 5-game stretch. Just saying.
Yeah.
What a time to be alive.
It's
the
fun.
The still four games under 500 Lakers, still legitimately talking about rising as high as even a 6.
You and I both think they're going to get in. So
I do.
There we go.
Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you go to see the show and communicate, participate, actively engage with a great Lakers community of 12,000 plus subscribers. We try to get involved in that and use your comments on the show. Twitter at Cam Brothers is where you can reach us as well. Somebody did, you know, that Malik Beasley nugget was sent to us by somebody to use on tonight's show. So we appreciate that. So if you contact us, you communicate with us. We try to use that as part of the show. We will see everybody on Monday.